Good morning again, church family. It's great to be here, and wow, what a high Sabbath. Amen? I know it fills the heart of God with joy to see these individuals this morning giving their hearts and their lives to Him through baptism. So I praise the Lord for that, and it fills my heart with joy as well to see that. And so I praise God. And it is just a high Sabbath in many different ways. And it's exciting also to think about the series that's coming up here starting on Friday. Are you guys excited about that? Awesome. Yeah, we've been planning and looking forward to that. And I praise God for the opportunity we have to be part of this event. And thank you again, Mark, for the introduction. And yes, it's great to see some familiar faces that I met back in October. And my wife and our three boys were not able to join me today, but they send their greetings. And as Mark mentioned, my wife is very gifted with nutrition and health, and she's an amazing cook. And she has one of her favorite recipes is for her banana bread. And if you've ever had good banana bread, you'll have to try my wife's. It's amazing. And so, in fact, at the end of the training this afternoon, for those of you who come to the training and stay, at the very end of the training, I will be sharing my wife's banana bread recipe. So you don't want to miss it. So I invite you to join us this afternoon. We're going to have fun, and that's an extra bonus there at the end. So let's go ahead and bow our heads one more time as we continue our worship time together this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the example that we have just seen, the example to give our hearts and our lives to you. And so, Lord, we want to praise you for the decisions that have already been made to follow Jesus today. And I pray also that each one of us would make a decision in our hearts today, this morning, to either give our lives to you for the first time or to rededicate our lives to you. For those of us that have already given our lives to you, we want to renew our commitment to you today. We thank you so much for answering this prayer. And I ask that you would hide me behind the cross. Fill me with your Holy Spirit now as I share from your word. Thank you for answering this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of my message this morning is Fellowship with Jesus. Evangeliv, Fellowship with Jesus. And you might be thinking, Evangeliv, what is that? I've heard of evangelism, but I haven't heard of Evangeliv. It's a play on words, and it means to live a lifestyle of evangelism. And so on that note, because I travel around to different churches, I like to ask, what comes to mind when you hear the word evangelism? Some people think of maybe a Bible seminar like this one, the Great Reset, that is going to be happening here in just 6 days on this coming Friday. Some people think about that. Other people, there are so many different ways you can look at evangelism. And other people look at, you know, literature can be a form of evangelism, or even reaching out to children. Our schools can be a form of evangelism. There are many different ways of doing evangelism. And so this is one, and we're excited about this. And we have, as Mark shared earlier, we have over 30 churches that have signed on board to be a part of this Great Reset initiative with It Is Written. And already we have over 800 people that have registered to participate across all the sites throughout Oregon and Washington. And so we're delighted to see so many people interested in coming and learning more about Jesus and about the Bible. And we are delighted that you guys have also joined us on this journey. And I know you've heard a few numbers already this morning. It's hard to keep track of it because the numbers keep growing. So I think the bulletin said 31. Mark said 39, I think. When I looked this morning, it was 43. So we praise the Lord for that. And some of those numbers are people who register, and they say, I'm going to bring some people with me. And so if you haven't registered yet, I encourage you to do so. And you can find the information to do that on this these sharing cards. Did you notice these sharing cards when you came in this morning? This is a great way to get the word out about this opportunity. You can invite your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your classmates, even your enemies. You can invite them to come and to learn more about Jesus and his and God's word. And there is a website there where you can register as well, your participation. And it will ask you as well if you plan to bring anybody. And so some people have indicated that not only are they coming, but they're planning to bring some friends with them or some family members with them. And so we are excited about this opportunity to add value to our community and to get to know more people for Jesus. When people think of evangelism, some people think of a reaping event, like maybe what we're looking at here, an invitation for people to follow Jesus. Other people, they think of more a process where we get to know people and then we invite them to follow Jesus and then we might make sure they're integrated into discipleship, and that's great as well. But we like to look at evangelism as a lifestyle. It's a way that we live our lives. It's, or some people say, even a cycle where you're constantly reaching out to others, sharing God's love, sharing the good news of the gospel with other people. And so we have created this cycle image to help you get an idea of what it could look like to be engaged in evangelism. This can be looked at, of course, from the context of a church, or it can also be looked at in the context of our individual lives as followers of Jesus. And so we have this cycle of evangelism. And again, the concept here is that evangelism is not just something we ought to do one time a year, and then the rest of the year, we don't do any evangelism, right? Evangelism is something that we ought to be engaged in personally in our lives and also as a church all year long, whether it might be in one way or another. And so we've kind of paired this up into three sets of two that rhyme, so it makes it easier to remember. So the first pairing is revitalize, fertilize. And so the idea here is, of course, this pulls from the parables of Jesus, talking about spiritual growth in the context of gardening or agricultural life. How many of you have ever done gardening before? We have any gardeners here? Okay, quite a few hands. Very good. Awesome. And so Jesus pulled from this in his parables a lot, talking about plant life. And so that's where we get this from. And there was a quote shared this morning as well about the method of Christ, Christ's method alone in reaching people. And I love the example of Jesus as you look in the Gospels to see how he cared for people and he added value to their lives. You can see his healing ministry throughout his life and how he really blessed others, meeting their needs. And we want to follow his example in doing that. We want to share his love. We want to touch people's hearts and lives with the life-transforming power of Jesus and the good news of the gospel. And so in order to do that, we first must be connected with Jesus, right? And that's what I'll be focusing on this morning. And that's that revitalized piece where we ought to be connected with the source of life in order to connect others with him as well. And then again, fertilize has to do with adding value to people's lives. And then again, sow, grow, really that has to do with building connections and forming friendships and relationships with people in the community. And then reap and keep is that process of inviting people to follow Jesus and integrating them into life with him through discipleship. And so our vision, we would love to see every member and every church actively sharing Jesus with others. Amen? That gets me excited to think about what would that look like. Imagine if every church and every member was actively sharing Jesus with others. I believe that each of us has a sphere of influence that God wants to use to spread the good news of the gospel through us in our lives and in our journey. Can God only use a preacher, an evangelist, to come and preach on the pulpit? Is that the only way we can do evangelism? No. We can all be used by God to share his love and his goodness with others. And so once again, this morning, I'm going to be diving into the revitalized piece a little bit. And this is really relevant throughout the whole process of discipleship. But fellowship with Jesus, why is that so important? Fellowship with Jesus. You know, the word evangelism itself may not actually appear in Scripture, but the concept is clearly there. You have the word gospel, for example, and that is the Greek word euangelion, which is simply two words fused together. Eu means good, and angelion means message or news, and so this is talking about a good news message for people. And so that's what the gospel means. And then to preach is a Greek word that is euangelizo, and so it's literally sharing that good news about Jesus. That's what it means to preach. And so that is what we are called to do as disciples and as believers in Jesus. So I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Matthew, the gospel of Matthew. One of the main passages we'll be looking at this morning is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. 8, and it's the story of Jesus when he comes to his disciples with a very important message. And if you are a disciple of Jesus, this is an important message for you as well. Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to start looking at verse 18. And as we do that, I want to play a game with you, a Bible game, right? I'm going to give you a clue, and I want you to look in your Bibles for a specific word. And I want you to see how many times does this word show up in this passage. And it's the Greek word pas. What is that? The Greek word pas, it translates in English as all or every. And I believe this is one of the most powerful ways to look at this passage through the lens of looking for this word, all or every. So it appears a few times, and if you look at the screen, you'll see some clues if you need some help. But look for this word, and there's one that's a sneaky one. So we'll see who can catch that one. All right, let's look at this passage together. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, to his disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Again, that is that Greek word pas. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So why would Jesus come and start this message to his disciples with that focus? We're going to look at that. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This is talking about ultimate power. Jesus has ultimate power, and he's coming to his disciples with this message. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So Jesus comes with this message. He says, "I have all authority, all power, and my charge to you is to go and make disciples of all the nations," doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We saw this fulfilled this morning just a few moments ago, didn't we? This is exactly what Jesus said we ought to be doing, inviting others into discipleship with him and into a community. And so this is exciting to see this. And so here we see all the nations. This is the ultimate mission. So Jesus comes and he says, "I have all power, and I want you to go to all the nations." This is a message for everyone. This isn't just that the message of the gospel is good news, not just for an elite group of people. This is a message for everyone. So it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter where you came from or what kind of family you grew up in or what your belief system or your worldview might be. The message of the gospel is for you. The message of the gospel is for everyone. And then it continues in verse 19. It says, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." These are the other words that, these are the other instances of that word pas, all or every. And that's the last one there, "I'm with you always," is that sneaky one I told you about. You have to watch out for that one because many translations in the English translate it as always. And so we don't pick up on it as easily. But in the Greek, you can see here that this phrase, this one word always, is actually three words in the Greek language. And it is pas, tas, hemeras. It's an idiom. Pas, tas, hemeras. You can see it even kind of has a ring to it, doesn't it? And it's all the days. That's what it says in the Greek. All the days. So Jesus says, "I am with you all the days, even to the end of the age." And so in this passage, we see ultimate mission, right? That we are to reach all people, telling them about everything Jesus had commanded you. So the ultimate message, we see also ultimate presence. That Jesus promises to be with us, how many days? All the days. And I can't help but think of what I tell my boys. My wife and I, we have three lovely boys, filled with energy, filled with excitement, never a dull moment in our home. And I tell them on a regular basis, I ask them, I say, "Have you forgotten how much Daddy loves you and how much Mommy loves you?" I said, "How much do we love you?" And they know because I've taught them. They'll tell me, they'll say, "You love me all the days and all the ways." And I want them to know as their father that I love them unconditionally, and so does Jesus, that they are truly loved no matter what they do, no matter what happens in their lives, I will always love them. And that's a message I want to make sure that my boys understand. And I'll tell them, you know, even if you make a bad choice, will Daddy still love you? Yes. I tell them, there's nothing you could ever do that would make me love you less. And I want to make sure that they understand that. And that's the love of Jesus too, isn't it? And so Jesus is telling us here in this commission, he is telling us, there is never a single day that I am not with you. There's never a single day that goes by that I do not want to be with you and part of your life. And so this is a powerful, powerful passage that Jesus promises us ultimate presence as well. And so some people actually see an all chiasm here in this passage. How many of you have ever heard the word chiasm before? It's kind of a, okay, I'm surprised quite a few. We have some smart people here, Pastor. A chiasm is, it comes from the word chi, which is like an X, right? And so it's like a structure where there's a climax in the middle, right? And so you see here, ultimate power and ultimate presence is there at the beginning and at the end, where Jesus, he says, all authority, all power has been given to me, right? That's how it started. And it ended by him saying, I am with you all the days, right? And so we see here that Jesus promises you his ultimate power and presence so that you can fulfill his ultimate mission with his ultimate message. This is powerful. And he gives us also the ultimate method, which is here in the passage as well. Reading it again. Go therefore and make disciples. And whenever I read a passage, I like to look at the verbs because that's where the action is at, right? And so when you look at this passage, you see a number of verbs here. And many translations translate the word go as the imperative. In the Greek language, an imperative means a command, an urge, something that you need to do, right? And so Jesus is commanding his disciples here, and he says, go, therefore, make disciples. But actually, if you look in the Greek language, the word for make disciples is actually the imperative. The other verbs are participles, which means that there are more supporting verbs to the main verb, which is that matheteo verb, which means to make disciples. And so Jesus is asking them, or commanding them rather, to make disciples. That is the ultimate focus of this passage, his ultimate method of evangelism, of reaching other people, to make disciples. And how do we do that? We see the other verbs here that explain that, and most scholars agree, many scholars agree that these other action verbs we see here in this passage serve a supporting role to the main verb, which is to make disciples. And so how do we make disciples? Well, first we must go, right? And that's something that we can struggle with sometimes as a church, can't we? We love to invite people to come to us, and that's great. That's not bad in and of itself, but we also ought to be going out into the community, out and blessing others, adding value to their lives. And that's an important piece in making disciples. So we have to go. That's important. And then we also see here baptizing and teaching. And so these are some other important aspects of how we can disciple others. Baptism, as we've seen this morning, is a symbol of giving your life and your heart completely to Jesus. And he loves to see people choosing to do that and following him. And teaching is an important piece of that as well, isn't it? And you can see that throughout the ministry of Jesus also, where he would teach, he would preach, and he would heal as well. And so he really cared for people, and that is part of this discipleship journey. And so that's one of the reasons that we're doing this event here starting coming up Friday, where there will be a lot of teaching going on, a lot of preaching and teaching about Jesus and about the Bible. And so this is all part of God's plan for us. And so I look at this passage as a passage that's all about going all the way for Jesus. And so I would love to see all of our members and all of our churches receiving all the power of Jesus and all the presence of Jesus so that we can reach all the nations with all that Jesus has taught. Amen? Amen. That is what we see here in this passage, to make disciples of all. And that is actually the mission of the Oregon Conference. Did you know that? The Oregon Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, which is the chapter, you might say, of the Seventh-day Adventist movement here in Oregon and part of Washington as well. But our mission is, it's all about who? Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And then notice those words down below, knowing, loving, serving, and sharing. It's all about Jesus. And so, of course, when we talk about evangelism, we get excited about sharing Jesus with others. But in order to do that, we also need to look at these other pieces too, don't we? We need to know Him, we need to love Him, and we need to serve Him. And that's an important, those are important steps in this discipleship journey to be able to share Him with others as well. I want to ask you, how many of you have good neighbors where you live right now? Anyone? Okay, good. I'm seeing a number of hands. That's excellent. Well, my wife and I are very blessed. We have great neighbors right now as well where we live. Really awesome. And when I was a young boy, I remember that my family growing up, we also had really good neighbors. In fact, there was one neighbor in particular that lived next to us. And if they ever needed anything, they knew they could come and they could ask us for what they needed. And so, you know, let's say they were going to make something and they ran out of flour. Well, they would just come over and say, hey, do you have any flour that I could borrow? And if we had it, we'd share it with them. And it went both ways. And so we just really had a great friendship with these neighbors of ours. And it was awesome. But I want you to imagine that you get a knock on your door one day, and it's your neighbor coming over saying, hey, I'm trying to make something here, and I ran out of flour. Is there a way I could borrow some flour from you? I say, oh, yeah, let me go look in my pantry. So you go to your pantry, and you open the pantry door, and you realize that you're out of flour too. How helpful are you going to be able to be to your neighbor? Not very helpful, right? And so it's this simple but profound concept that you cannot share that which you do not have, right? You cannot share that which you do not have. And so when we talk about evangelism, we want to share Jesus with others, and that is excellent. But can you share Jesus if you don't have Jesus? You can't do that, right? It's very, very difficult, isn't it? Now, God can bless our efforts, you know, no matter where we are in our journey with Him, but I believe God wants us to be filled with His presence and His power through the Holy Spirit so that we can share Him in amazing ways. And so when He calls us in this passage to make disciples of all the nations, do you think you can make disciples of others if you yourself are not a disciple of Jesus? That would be pretty difficult, wouldn't it? And so we ought to follow Jesus ourselves, being His disciples. That's a prerequisite, right? In order to be able to share Jesus, we have to follow Jesus ourselves. And so again, it's a simple but profound concept. And that's why I want to invite you now to turn with me to 1 John in your Bibles. And I do have it on the screen for those that would rather look at it on the screen. But I like to see people getting into the Word. And so 1 John, we're going to be looking at a few verses this morning that I love when we talk about evangelism. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Now, what's the word of life? You notice it's a capital W right here. And so this is referring to Jesus, okay? And so what does this say here? In this passage, does it say, now, we don't really know for sure about Jesus, but we've heard He's a good person to follow, so you might want to think about it. Is that what it says? No, no. This is not hearsay, is it? They're saying we know because our hands have handled it, our ears have heard it, our eyes have seen. And so this is a first-hand encounter and experience that they are talking about. And it continues here. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that powerful? Do you have fellowship with Jesus? I sure hope so. I sure hope so. Fellowship with Jesus. There is power in fellowship with Jesus, isn't there? And I love how this ends. And these things we write to you, why? that your joy may be full. How many of you want to have your joy full this morning? Awesome, awesome. That's what I want to see. Yes, I want my joy to be full as well. And I believe that true joy is found in the giver of all joy, the giver of life, and that is Jesus. True joy is found in Jesus, in fellowship with Jesus. And as you spend time with Jesus, as you allow him into your heart and into your life, and as he begins to change your life and your heart for the better, and fill your heart with his joy and his love, you're not going to be able to keep that to yourself, are you? And I believe that when we do evangelism, this is what it's all about. It's all about being in fellowship with Jesus, experiencing so much joy that we can't keep it to ourselves. We just have to share it with others, just like we read in this passage, saying we have fellowship with Jesus, and it's so awesome. It fills our hearts with joy, with so much joy. We want you to have this joy too. And so that's why we want to invite you to come and know Jesus too, so that your heart can also be filled with his love and his joy. That is evangelism. Have you heard it said that evangelism is simply one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread? Jesus is the source of life. And he wants to use us to be channels of his love and his blessing to other people. I love this concept. I want to ask you a question. How many of you, while driving down the road or down the freeway, you noticed that there was an accident that happened before you got there? Anyone? Okay, I'm seeing a number of hands. This actually happened to my wife and I just about 2 weeks ago. My wife just had a birthday, and so I decided to take her out on the slopes and learn to snowboard for her birthday. She had never done it before, and I'm a snowboarder. Do we have any snowboarders here? Maybe some skiers? Anybody who likes snow sports here? Okay, I see a couple hands. Awesome. Well, we live not too far from Mount Hood, my wife and I. We live in the Sandy area up there by Mount Hood. And so I took her snowboarding, and as we were just finishing up the day, she had a blast, by the way, and as we were just finishing up, we noticed a truck that went by, and it was one of those trucks that has, my boys love to call them a transport truck, right? It has cars that was filled with cars on the back of it. And we just happened to notice it as we were getting ready to head down the mountain, driving down the road. And then as we left to go home, we noticed that the traffic was completely booked. It was backed up. Probably hundreds of cars we could see, and it was just a standstill. It was a parking lot. And we eventually got through after being stuck for probably a good hour and a half or so. And when we got to the scene of the accident, sure enough, it was the very truck that we had noticed with all the cars there that were. It was quite a scene where the truck had gone off the highway into the woods, and there were cars everywhere, all throughout the trees. There's cars everywhere. It was crazy. And so I know many of us have had certain experiences like this where we see accidents, right? Well, there was another time that this happened to me. I was in Florida. I used to pastor in the Florida conference. And when I was there, my wife and I, we were on our way to a doctor appointment one day, and we noticed a car that was coming on the opposite direction. And as it was getting closer and closer to us, I noticed that it started to veer into our lane. And as it got close to us, and it actually passed us, and it missed us by about a foot, and I started looking in the rearview mirror, I saw it missed the car behind us by probably about 2 inches, and sadly, it struck the car in a head-on collision, two vehicles behind us, and it was a pretty ugly collision. I'm thankful that the authorities arrived pretty quickly, and I actually decided to stay and make a witness statement to the authorities, which they appreciated. And I was able to make a witness statement because I had actually seen what happened with my eyes, right? Now let me ask you, if we had been, say, even 5 minutes later on our schedule that day, and if we had arrived and the accident had already happened, would we have been able to make a witness statement? No, because we didn't see it happen, right? So what does it mean to be a witness? Do you know that God says in his word, you are my witnesses? Did you know that? So what does it mean to be a witness? To be a witness means that you have had a firsthand encounter, an experience, just like we read in 1 John. You've seen it with your eyes. You've experienced it. You have a firsthand encounter with Jesus, and you're going to share that encounter with others. That's what it means to be a witness. And so I want to invite you to turn with me for the final passage we're going to look at this morning, to the book of John, the Gospel of John. I'm hard-pressed to think of a story that's a better example of a witness for Jesus than this story. John chapter 4. This is the story of the woman at the well. Many of you are familiar with this story. John chapter 4, the woman at the well, starting at verse 39, it says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.'" You see, this woman had an encounter with Jesus, didn't she? And the encounter that she had with Jesus was so powerful, it was so transformational, that she went out and began to tell others about Jesus. She says, "I met this man, he told me all that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Could this be him?" And notice what it says, "So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word." Wow. So she said, "I've had this encounter with Jesus. You have to come get to know this man named Jesus." And they said, "We want to get to know this guy." And so they came and they asked and they urged him. They said, "Please stay with us. We want to get to know you." And he did that. And they were able to have an encounter with Jesus themselves. Now notice this. Don't miss this. "Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Wow. So they came and they got to know Jesus for themselves. And so it started with the woman having her own encounter with Jesus, right? And then she shared that encounter with others and invited them to come and get to know Jesus. And they came, and then after they got to know Jesus for themselves, they told her, "We believe in him, not just because of what you said, but because we now know him for ourselves. And so we believe that he is the Christ, the Savior of the world." Can you see how it's all about Jesus? And can you see how important it is for us to have that firsthand encounter, that experience with Jesus, falling in love with him, getting to know him, serving him, having that joy? There's joy in serving Jesus, isn't there? That's why the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive, right? There's joy in serving him. And then, of course, sharing him as well. There's one final quote I want to share with you, and it's from the book Testimonies of Volume 2, Testimonies to the Church, Volume 2. It says, "The scenes of Calvary call for the deepest emotion. Upon this subject, you will be excusable if you manifest enthusiasm." Did you catch that? I think I need to read that again. "Upon this subject, you will be excusable if you manifest enthusiasm." So this is saying it's okay for you to get excited about Jesus. Amen? Amen. I believe we would be better off as a church and as individuals if there was more excitement about Jesus and what he can do for you. It is exciting to follow Jesus. And so it's okay, it's excusable for you to have enthusiasm, for you to get excited about it. That Christ, so excellent, so innocent, should suffer such a painful death, bearing the weight of the sins of the world, our thoughts and imaginations can never fully comprehend. The length, the breadth, the height, the depth of such amazing love we cannot fathom. The contemplation of the matchless depths of a Savior's love should fill the mind, touch and melt the soul, refine and elevate the affections, and completely transform the whole character." Wow. Has that been your experience? I sure hope so. This is what Jesus can do for you. And if this hasn't been your experience, don't be discouraged. I want to encourage you, because it's never too late. And so there's no day like today. And so I want to invite you, as we wrap up this morning, to think about how will you respond to this message today. You know, we're going to have these meetings in just a few days to invite people to come and to hear about Jesus and about God's Word. There was a story I recently heard of a pastor who said, you know, he told me that he knew of this church that they had invited this big evangelist to come in, and he preached about God's Word. He preached powerful messages about Jesus, and many people gave their lives to him, and they came to the church. And then a year later, he heard back from the church, and they said, yeah, out of everybody that came, like, most of them didn't stay around. They left and went out other places. And then they said, yeah, so the evangelist, he didn't do his job. And the pastor friend of mine said, well, wait a minute, it sounds to me like the evangelist did his job, but the church didn't do their job. And so this is why I share this with you, especially in the context of an opportunity to share Jesus with others, that we have these evangelists, they're going to be sharing about Jesus and about the Bible during these meetings, but we all also ought to be connected with Jesus, right? And so it's my hope and my dream and my desire that as people make decisions for Jesus, as people become disciples of His, that they will also find people here in this church that are on fire for Jesus as well, that are connected with Jesus, filled with His joy, and they can stick around in this community that's all about Jesus. And so that's why I've chosen to focus on this this morning as we look especially at this event coming up that we're excited about. Does our world today need joy? I sure believe so. You look at what's in the news. You look at the journey we've all been on over the last two some years. There have been a lot of events that have happened that really have taken joy away, haven't there? A lot of struggles, a lot of challenges, a lot of sickness, and even death. And it's been a tough time for us. And so our world, I believe, more than ever, is in need of joy, and the true joy that only Jesus can bring. And so that's why I'm excited for us to respond to this call that Jesus is giving us right now, to come to Him, to be filled with His joy and His love, to enter into fellowship with Him. So in closing, I want to share this story with you. There was a man that went on a vacation. How many of you like to go on vacation? Okay, quite a few hands. I love to go on vacation. He went to a beach location, and he was enjoying the beautiful views when he noticed off in the distance there, not too far from him, were some children that were playing in the sand, and they were having a great time. And he looked off even further, and he saw there were some surfers that were surfing some waves, and they were having a blast. He looked out some more, and he saw there were some snorkelers that were snorkeling. How many of you have ever been snorkeling before? Okay, quite a few hands. That's awesome. I remember the first time I went snorkeling was when I was on a mission trip in the Philippines, and the views that I saw there underwater were so gorgeous. I felt like I was in heaven. It was beautiful. And so they were enjoying the scenes there of snorkeling, and he looked out even further, and he saw that there was a scuba diver that was diving deep, exploring the world that you can only explore when you go deep. And he realized, as much as he was enjoying the scene there, that he was missing out on even more that he could be doing. And so my question for you this morning as we close is, where are you in your walk with Jesus? Maybe you identify with this scuba diver, and you're deep in God's Word, you're deep in your prayer life with Him every day, and if that's you, praise the Lord. You see, I believe God is always calling us to go deeper in our walk with Him. Maybe you identify more with the snorkelers. You've been well on your journey with Jesus for many years, but you recognize there's still more that you could do. There's still deeper that you could go with Jesus. Or maybe you recognize that you're more like the surfers, or maybe even the children on the sand, where you're earlier on in your stages of a relationship with Jesus, but you really know that you want to go deeper with Him. Or maybe you're like the man himself who you realize that you're just an observer. Maybe you've never really given your life to Jesus before. Maybe you've never even put your toes in the water. You've never really, truly given your life to Jesus. And if that is you, I want to invite you to make a decision for Jesus today, just as Pastor invited you just earlier this morning. There's no day like today to make a decision for Jesus. And so for some of you, that might mean even deciding to be baptized. And so I want to encourage you to make a decision for Jesus today, wherever you are in your journey. If you've never accepted Him before, choose to accept Him into your life and your heart, and He'll fill your heart with joy and love. I remember when I first made that decision, and I've never looked back. That's the best decision I've ever made in my entire life. So if you've never invited Jesus into your heart and your life, I invite you to do that today. Don't leave this morning without doing that. Or maybe you've been on your journey, but you realize He's calling you deeper. So I invite you to make that decision to go deeper with Jesus. And the last invitation I will give you this morning is to make a decision to be a witness for Him. Just like the woman at the well, you want to have that encounter with Jesus, yes, and you want to share Jesus with others. And there are many opportunities to be witnesses for Jesus, right? Even this coming week. And so that is the other decision that I want to invite you and encourage you to make this morning, is to be a witness for Jesus this year, even starting right away. So that is what I wanted to share with you this morning. Now we're going to have a closing song, and then there will be a special prayer after that.
Yes, we have one last thing that we need to do. I want to invite up all the people who are baptized today to come forward. And you may be seated, the rest of you. So we talked about the meaning of baptism a little bit earlier. Why don't you guys stand right up here? And I kind of went through a number of different ideas that baptism represents. But there was one thing I left out, and that's the thing that we want to talk about right now. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, it says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body.
Praise the Lord.
Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Mm-hmm. Now notice here what it says. It says that we were baptized into one body. When we are baptized, we become members of the body of Christ.
Yes, praise the Lord.
You know, Jesus has risen and has gone to heaven. He's no longer here with us except through His Spirit. That we are His body, and He works through us. Not only are we individually His body, but all of us together form the greater body of Christ. And Christ wants to use all of us. And so now we want to actually make them a part of our body. You know, we are family. A family, and we belong to the same spiritual family. And so I just want us to show our support for them becoming part of our family. I would like you to raise your hand to show that you support them. These are your family members. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
And we're so happy that you are part of our family.
Amen.
We have
Amen.
Just a very simple gift that we'd like to give to you. This is, of course, the book Desire of Ages, which is about the life of Jesus. There's no better book, no better life to study than the life of Jesus. And so we want to encourage you to daily spend time with Jesus. Without that, you will have no spiritual life, and you will fall away from Christ. You will grow tired of being a Christian. It'll be meaningless to you, but if you spend time with Jesus, it will be life, joy, something that you will not be able to live without. I would like to pray over you and pray for you. Before I do that, let me just introduce you to them. I hope you can remember their names. So this is Ted. This is Eva. Faulkner. So this is James and Debbie Humphrey. This is Shelley and Byron. So these are our new family members.
Amen.
So welcome to our family. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, it is really awesome to have new brothers and sisters. And Lord, I just ask that you would bless them in our fellowship. May we be a blessing to them. May we be an encouragement. May they be an encouragement to us. And may we grow closer to you together. and become a greater witness for you here in this community. I thank you so much for what you've done in their lives, and we just pray that you would really fill them with your Spirit, and you continue to work out your will in their lives. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I want to thank Tim for coming all the way down to be with us. It's been a great blessing. That was a tremendous sermon.
Oh, yeah.
It was perfect on this Sabbath. So thank you so much for preaching that. I want to invite Tim back up here. He's going to have the benediction. And then we will... I want to say something. Maybe I shouldn't have sent you guys back. I just left out something. You guys can go back to your thing. But after, when the benediction is done, I would invite you to come back up again, all the baptismal... all the people who have been baptized, because we would like to be able to greet you and to welcome you into our family. We have this tradition of doing so. And so if you guys could, again, just stand here below, facing outward. And if church members would like to come up here and just greet them, I would encourage that. And that we can do after the benediction and after the music that's played. God bless.
Thank you, Pastor. Yes, let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, I want to second Pastor Scalfani's prayer for James and Debbie and for Shelley and Byron and Eva and Ted, that you would continue to fill them with your Holy Spirit. Baptism is not the end. It's the beginning of a whole new chapter, a whole new journey with you. And so I pray that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit. Fill each of us with your Holy Spirit as we desire your power and your presence in our lives. And I want to take this opportunity to seal the decisions that have been made this morning, that each one would allow their hearts to go out to you in prayer right now, that each one can seal the decision of their heart in this moment. I pray for each of us that have decided that we want to go deeper in our walk with you today. I pray also for those that may have never truly accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that may want to do that right now. I pray that you would seal those decisions as well. Maybe even some here that want to follow the example of these individuals this morning that have chosen to be baptized and have led by their example the best decision that could ever be made. And so I pray for those that have decided this morning to give their hearts and their lives to you for the first time ever. And I also pray for each of us that have decided that we want to be witnesses for you this year. Starting right now, starting this week, use us to be witnesses for you. Help us to be committed to having a daily encounter with you, a firsthand experience with you, so that we can be your witnesses, agents, and vessels of your love and your joy to those that you have placed within our sphere of influence. This is my prayer. We thank you so much for answering. In Jesus' name, amen.